Hey, everybody, and welcome into episode 35 of the Nerd Mosh Pit. We are back, absolutely. Well, I'm back. I've been on vacation for a while, but we appreciate the patience. We're glad you're back with us. On this episode, we're talking about Better Call Saul. We're talking Octopath Traveler. We're talking Overcooked. We're talking Nintendo Switch, as always. And quite a few movies we've been watching, some other TV shows, and obviously some Netflix documentaries, all those good things. We hope you enjoy the episode. Remember to like, subscribe, comment, share, wherever you download this episode. We really do appreciate it. Also, remember to please, please, please go and check us out on malice-corp.com. You can go through our Amazon links there to help support the show. We really do appreciate it. It helps out a lot for us. With all that being said, we really hope you enjoy the show.
Well, if you find like a
episode 35 starting right now. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Nerd Mosh Pit, episode 35. How's life, Kenny and Nick?
Oh, gosh, it's been way too long, guys.
What is Nerd Mosh Pit?
It is a thing that existed before I took a month-long vacation, and I'm not sure it will anymore. We'll see.
You have a very rough life.
Man, I don't know. I felt rough in my life having to go back to work. I felt like that was a tough struggle.
Wait, am I hearing this right? Are you having doubts about the Nerd Mosh Pit?
No, I'm not. I'm having doubts of anybody that gives a shit anymore.
Gotcha.
We're alive. We're working. We're handling business. It's going to be about now recapturing all the fan base that went, I hate Matt for having month-long vacations, and I'm out.
You should have done like a little blurb cast of like a minute of you just saying, hey guys, we're not going to be recording for a couple weeks.
Yeah, I thought about that, and then I went,
yeah,
I got busy and not gonna work. So.
Shit happens.
I think I sent out a tweet. No, did I send out a tweet about it? Did anybody send it? I don't know. Maybe.
That's called lazy happens, not shit happens.
No, I had to like pack up. You know, I had to pack, you know, a decent amount of stuff for vacation, dude.
Get out of here.
Come on.
Are you playing Battle of Azeroth, man? It's out.
Not right now. I have been playing it. I actually spent about an hour redoing all of my add-ons and user interface, and now it's like set to this masterful, beautiful thing. So tomorrow night when I get out of work, I'm gonna power level. My cousin's already hit 120, dude. I'm like, what?
What game?
World of Warcraft's new expansion.
WoW expansion.
Oh, gotcha.
But yeah, the time supposedly for 120 speed runs was about 8 hours. This expansion.
That's it?
Yeah, so people are just power leveling, getting alts right now, everybody set up, getting geared for the new Uldir raid coming out in about two and a half weeks now, so.
I was talking to my friends that I play fantasy with, and they actually might have a lead for a BlizzCon ticket for me at Face. Which I'm really hoping for. We'll see how that works out. But anyways,
you're not allowed to go without me.
I know, so I was going to mention it to you and say we might need to keep an eye out for another one for you. Mm. So there's four of them going right now, but one of them they don't know is actually going to follow through or not. So, but the guy who bought the tickets, they're under all the people's names right now, and you can't change them anymore. So he's working with Blizzard trying to see if he can change the name back to his so he can just pick up a second ticket. Because Blizzard's very picky, but we'll see. But I'm keeping my fingers crossed. But they were asking me if I was playing Battle for Azeroth, and I was like, I don't
care about my name being on the badge, so not a big deal for me.
Well, no, me neither. But they have three guys are going, so they have one extra.
Yeah.
But the problem is, if your name's not on, if you can't go to BlizzCon and try to pick up the badge for someone else if it's already under someone else's name. So
that's lame.
That would be the problem. And Blizzard is very stiff with their like June or July or their July dates of saying no more changes, you know. So he's working with Blizzard to see what he can do. I told him to just throw a fit because Blizzard has really good customer service and they'll do something for him. So
time to make fake IDs.
No, okay. You don't need to do that. So Yeah. So, man, people are texting me about BFA right now as you speak about it. I'm not going to answer. Danny Arc, Mr. Like Arcor himself, he'll be back. He'll be.
It's just coming. Like all the other expansions. Just tell them that, and you'll be fine.
No, I can't. And welcome into the show, Brutus.
Brutus.
Oh, that's Olive, actually.
Oh, hey, Olive.
She's taking a drink. It's a little hot down here.
Good for her. You know what? It's actually cold up here. I had to close the doors down because it's like 62 degrees.
It's been getting to like the high has been like 92, 93, and we've been like ecstatic about it. Like I'm like sitting outside at 7 p.m. Like it's 71 right now, and that's amazing compared to one.
We've actually had quite a bit of precipitation here.
We've been doing trainings, and people came in today in jackets and sweaters because it was 65.
Jesus
Christ. That is crazy.
That's my dream.
It's fucking August.
Give me 65 degrees all year round, and I will be the happiest camper ever.
Yeah, the high today was like 82. So.
Oh, fuck you.
It's like in parts of Alaska that's possible.
Bay Area. Welcome to the Bay. Anyways,
I don't call it Bay Area. I call it Yay Area.
Yeah, it's the only
thing it should ever be called.
It is.
I just can't think of anything with Bay Area without thinking of wilding out to that song.
There you go. I love it. So yes, gentlemen, welcome back to the show. We are back, Nerd Moshpit. As you can see, we don't care about what's going on. We're just having conversations as always. Thanks for coming back in. As you guys know, if you haven't been listening to the show, if this is your first time in, this is just kind of a show about a little bit of everything. We're just throwing it all in there. The three friends all sitting down, chatting and talking. And it's a little dirty, a little sweaty. And, there's a lot of spit that flies around just like a mosh pit, But the whole idea is to make sure we're helping each other out, picking people up, man, and just having a great time while we do it. So let's go ahead and hop into the show, guys. Let's start with some video games, man. There have been a lot of great games announced. There's been a lot of great games that have even dropped, but mostly I feel like the Nintendo Switch has kind of slowly released a lineup of really solid IPs, man. First off, I'm not gonna lie, it is one of my new favorite games. Playing on the Switch with family on this vacation, hanging out with people, having a lot more opportunity for party games with the Switch. Mario Aces, by the way, is fantastic.
And I am the best.
Kenny is almost the best. Actually, he's beaten me a majority of the times we've played.
I've got the record right now.
You have the winning record. It's definitely somewhere closer to like 10 wins for Kenny and 3 wins for me, probably.
No, you've got a good amount. When you play Wario, you do fine.
Waluigi, by the way. Whatever. I will correct you.
The cheater character. He's the easiest character ever to play.
He is not a cheater. He's not a cheat.
You barely have to move and you can hit the ball.
What are you talking about?
He's got like the longest arm stretch in that game.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he
you
does.
You are insane.
I'm gonna look it up.
Feel free. Oh my god.
You love Mario Aces.
You love to shit on my boy Waluigi, and I'm not gonna take it anymore because
he's a piece of shit.
You call him a cheater in Mario Kart, and you call him a cheater in tennis.
Wait, the S tier of Mario Tennis, guess who's in it? Waluigi, first person.
I'm calling bullshit on whatever website you looked up on page 4 of Google right now. To try and justify your argument.
He's the Michael Jordan of Mario Aces.
Right here, best characters, Yoshi, Bowser Jr., Boo, and Waluigi.
All the characters I like a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're good.
But Mario Aces is amazing. What sucks for me is it's not that much fun single player. Like, it's just not, I'm not turning it on whenever I want to play something. I don't touch it.
Well, it's the talking shit part, man.
But it shines when, for instance, when me and Matt were at Comic-Con and we were playing against each other waiting for a panel to start. That's when it shines.
It shines. It's the best.
There's people sitting around you, and you're, like, freaking out, like, holding the Switch, yelling because you're so pumped that you just, like, won that ridiculously long, you know, what do you call it, volley or whatever. Like, it's
the drop shots and stuff like
that. It's a lot more exciting to beat your friend than beat the computer. I mean,
the rallies that occur during Kenny and I's stretches of this game, I mean, it almost comes to a point where it's who's going to have their hand cramp first before someone gives up a point. Like, I can't believe how long matches were lasting, and not even full sets, just, you know, match points or just points, you know, it was crazy.
Yeah, just back and forth and back and forth, but it's so much fun. But that's the only downside for me, is it shines when you're playing against someone else. No one else I know has a Switch, so it looks like I'll get to play it like once a year with Matt. So.
Well, maybe twice a year if we go to BlizzCon.
I'll get it.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, buddy.
Kenny, I'll pick up a copy so you can play
with me. Much more fun when you're sitting next to someone.
And that's the thing.
Because it's so much easier to talk shit.
You lose something.
Like, text message talking shit isn't.
Yeah, you lose something online with the Switch right now because there's not a great voice chat except that stupid app that doesn't really work. You might as well just call somebody. And, you know, it's, for me, the greatest thing about the Mario Tennis right now is everybody can pick it up and play it. And that's been one of those cool things, like going and visiting family and stuff like that. I'm just pulling off the Switch Joy-Cons, giving one to a cousin, and we're immediately in there volleying, playing tennis. And within 4 or 5 matches, people have gotten the idea of the different types of swings and hits and how to really maneuver the courts. And it's just been a blast. Like, I have a couple of cousins who are hooked on it right now. They keep texting me, telling me, like, hey, we're going to get a Switch. Make sure to play with us. You know, it's crazy. So I love easily it is to connect with people with this system.
Yeah, I even got my wife to play it. Even she has played a couple
nice.
Of games stuff.
Yeah, it's a blast. It really is.
Yeah, the only game my wife will play with me on the Switch is Mario Kart.
And that Mario Kart's fantastic, except when you're playing Matt, who beats down on people. So,
God damn it.
And he cheats. He cheats as well, Luigi. Wait, didn't I won our last match, right? I did.
You might have. Probably.
I did. What we should be talking about, though, is Octopath Traveler.
No, I wanted to save Octopath Traveler, because I only meant to give Mario Tennis Aces a shout-out, but I really wanted to also give a big shout-out to a great sequel to a phenomenal game in Overcooked 2 has dropped, and that is a blast as well. Way to go, Nintendo. I think Overcooked is, like, one of the coolest little indie titles that's hit in a while. I think it's a blast.
I have played Overcooked. I have it, but once again, that's a game that shines if local multiplayer.
You have to have
by yourself. It's miserable.
It's miserable, and even with two people, it's really tough. The key with Overcooked is having 3 or 4, and making sure 1 or 2 of those people have not played really at all. Because it just chaos ensues in the kitchen, and I'm not gonna lie, there has been a couple of times where I've had tears in my eyes trying to play that game, watching people, I've been like cousins and stuff like that, burning the kitchen down. It is fantastic.
Oh yes.
So I've played with my sister-in-law and my niece, and us three have played a lot, and the amount of like screaming I will do at my 10-year-old niece, like, pick it up. And even I'm playing with my sister-in-law, who's her mom, and even she's yelling at her, like, what are you doing? Pick it up. Like, we're getting so competitive. Like,
see, we finally got to a level where we were being like overrun by rats that they were stealing all of our prepared foods.
Those are the worst.
So we had to have a strategy of it was like the first time we realized, like, just put the pots on the tables and just drop everything directly in the pots, and then once it's all loaded, then go cook rather than having it cooking and dropping stuff in, because they won't steal out of the pots, right? So I have this, I don't know if you guys know, I have this like booming voice in a room, and I can kind of be heard over large crowds pretty easily. So, like, I immediately, like, take charge of the kitchen when we're playing Overcooked with everybody else. And I'm just like, no, you go do that. Your job was over here. What are you doing? Don't leave the wash station. Get back over to those dishes. Pick up those. You know, and I'm just like, I'm general. Like, I'm totally soup Nazi with it. Like, just telling everybody what's going on. Except less curse words and not as much insults.
But that's what you need to do in Overcooked.
You have
so, like,
to.
whenever I first start, I tell, like, my niece, I'm like, just chop. Just start chopping things. Just chop this and this first. And then my sister-in-law is, like, trying to handle the cooking, and I'm just basically trying to make sure everything doesn't explode.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. Well, but, man, it's a lot of fun.
It is. And it got to such a point where we were getting so competitive to make sure we got 3 stars on every level, where we were literally in the loading screen. It shows the kitchen that you're about to cook in, right? So at one point, 3 to 4 of us were standing at the TV and pointing out where each one of us was going to on our path through the kitchen and how it was going to work and who was going to do what jobs before we even started the game. Like, we got, like, super into this where we were completely strategizing and plotting out our kitchen before the game had even loaded up to make sure it ran smoothly. I mean, it got intense a couple of times. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
God, that sounds great.
Yeah. So Octopath Traveler has also dropped. And this is a sequel to the Bravely Default games. And I'm not going to lie, I just loaded it up onto the Switch and have not turned it on yet. I've only played the demos at this
point. It's not a sequel to Bravely Default.
The same creators of Bravely
Default. Yeah.
It's, same creators.
It's, yeah. Have you not played it because you're just not looking, like, you're just not into it? Or
I had this thing called a month-long vacation, and I had to go to work afterwards, and I just haven't had time.
I honestly
I've been getting,
like, the beginning of your month-long vacation.
No, it did not. It came through, like, halfway, and I wasn't really around a reliable internet connection to download it onto the system, so I just was kind of left in limbo a little bit for it. And then when I finally got back home to download it and play it, and also it's, you know, it's a solo RPG, and yeah, I could have been that guy who started playing that on vacation with family all around me, but I was not going to play a game unless there was other people that could be involved. And Octopath Traveler, I'm going to go sit in a dark corner and not be bothered when I play that game. So
yeah,
it did not work out for me until I got home.
When you boot that up, do yourself a favor and give yourself a good 2 hours when you boot it up.
Story and everything. I gave myself Sunday. So Sunday, this upcoming Sunday, I have blocked off basically my whole day except for maybe a movie or two to catch up on my quest for 100. But
I think I'm at about 6 hours in it right now. I haven't played it recently because I've just been playing other stuff, but it's, you know, I love it. The style of it's great. The audio is just out of this world. It got some shit reviews because they claim the stories don't link up. I don't really care, because the stories of the individual characters all feel very unique already. I've got 3 people in my party, and I'm almost unlocked the 4th one right now. But I'm just, you know, there's a lot of strategy in that game, and, you know, playing with the break system and all that is just so much fun. And, you know, saving up and then, you know, doing, like, your SP moves or whatever to hit everything really hard is just great. And the art is just, you know, it's through and through. I really can't find anything to necessarily complain about with the game. It is just an amazing title.
Yeah, and great gameplay, great art. You know, they're going to make up for a lot of lack of story. Obviously, story is what's going to keep people driving through the game. But what's really cool about Octopath Traveler, like you talked about, is the individual stories are all there. And yeah, they may not all come together in, like, perfect harmony or anything like that for reviewers or anything, but it's those individual tales that I'm actually really looking forward to playing through and seeing, you know, what kind of different gameplay I'm going to get from every single person. So I'm actually really excited. I can't wait to play it. It's on the Switch. It's loaded on the Switch. I haven't been able to sit down and play it. I'm kind of blocking off some time to play BFA with World of Warcraft. And, you know, there's a couple other things I wanted to make sure I got done and finished before I jumped into that. So
yeah, I thought it was great. And then I also recently re-downloaded No Man's Sky.
Oh yeah, so after all their new updates, man, how's that going?
They've done a lot of updates that I just never touched, and I always had a lot of promise for No Man's Sky, and I played it a decent amount when it first came out. But they did No Man's Sky Next, which is, like, the big new update with multiplayer and third-person view, and it feels like the game that it was always meant to be now. It is a, I didn't even bring over my old save file. I just started from scratch, and it just feels like a totally different game. It feels like you can like build your own base. You can build your own base on a planet, and eventually you can get freighters. And there's just so much more to do in the world rather than just go from planet to planet to planet to planet. It just feels very stretched out. It feels like you're actually doing something now that the visuals were upgraded. It just, there's space battles now and stuff, and it just feels like a good game. The first one, you know, it got so much bad press because it wasn't a finished game. There wasn't enough to do. But No Man's Sky Next, I think they finally pulled through, and I guess some of the updates have happened over time, but just like the menus are different and the interface feels different, and it doesn't feel so crushingly difficult when you run out of carbon to take off your spaceship and stuff like that. It just feels like a good game. I'm really proud of the was it Hello Games? Aren't they the ones who made No Man's Sky?
I believe so, yeah.
I'm really proud of the developer on that because, I mean, they really pulled through and they gave everyone the game they were wanting for. They didn't try to charge. The coolest thing is they didn't try to charge you DLC for that. They said, no, we fucked up. We're working on it. Free update. There you go. And a bunch of, and all the reviews on it changed. All of a sudden, it went from getting 5 reviews to 8s and 9s because, you know, after with this new update, it feels good. Granted, that should have happened. They should have just pushed the release of it, in my opinion, if they didn't feel like it was the game they wanted. But it's still a solid title.
Do you think all the updates, though, are enough to save this game? Because, I mean, the idea of this game is infinite space. And obviously the first release of that, the actual first 100% release was nowhere. You know, it was definitely infinite space, but there is nothing in that space. And, you know, some of the biggest complaints were there is nothing to do anywhere on anything. And it's, once like you said, yeah, crushingly defeating. And now it feels like they've really placed things in to really inhabit this world so that you can feel like you are adventuring and on an odyssey, you know, a Star Trek, if you will, kind of a thing. So
yeah, it definitely feels better as far as like long term. I don't really think I've dived into it enough, but I know you can basically make your own space station and your own freighters, and you can start like a trading business basically that's trading between colonies. And it just, you can make your own base on planets now just off of mining stuff around you. And you can, it really, you know, I mean, I don't know how many hours necessarily it can give you, but just the amount of people that were playing it just on Twitch alone after the update just skyrocketed because it had the multiplayer that everyone wanted. I could give a shit less about the multiplayer, but just them offering you third-person view makes it feel like a different game.
That's interesting.
It gives it scope. It makes it feel like it is just you on this planet, not just first person with a little gun shooting stuff. and then, like, you have a terrain manipulator now where you can literally dig through the planet. Like, you can just start almost like, it reminds me of like old school. Remember the old Red Faction game?
Oh, yeah,
when,
for sure.
When you could like shoot, yeah, but you have a gun that's a terrain manipulator that you need fuel for and stuff. But you can dig into the planet and find super rare materials that you need to craft, like a mining station at your base, or like a you don't call it like a purifier, like something that makes something into like a rare crystal, like a I can't think of the term right now, but and then you put your materials in there, and then it comes out and it's a even more rare mineral that's used for XYZ crafting, and it just feels good, man.
Yeah, one of the guys that I follow a lot on YouTube, and I love his streams, is Rurikon, and big shout out to him. He actually started playing No Man's Sky again, and he made it look like a blast, man, that's for sure. So I follow him a lot more for his Monster Hunter World, and he's going to be jumping into World of Warcraft as well. But great guy, great Twitch streamer, And yeah, his No Man's Sky stuff looked fantastic. So I'm glad you talked about that. I'm glad you've dove back into it too to give it a shot. Yeah, honestly, it's not even close to anything that I want it to be for me to jump into it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, maybe consider maybe if it goes on a sale, the feeling of flying onto a new planet that no one else in the game has been on, and then you get to name it, and it's got different plants you've never seen, different animals you've never seen, your name, you know, just that feeling of flying through the atmosphere and go and seeing the planet for the first time, and it
reaching
makes
the atmosphere
noise.
Yeah,
it was just feels
boldly going where no man,
it feels so good, it feels so good to do it,
it looks very satisfying. I'm not gonna lie,
it still makes me go like like whenever I do it, because I'm like, you feel like you're going somewhere no one's gone before. We can get that like frontier feel. But I also got Madden, of course, because I get Madden every year.
You get Madden every year.
And it is just as good, if not, in my opinion, it's better than Madden last year. So, and I thought Madden last year was a great title. I've been mainly playing Ultimate Team, and I do not pay for microtransactions, so I've actually been grinding through Ultimate Team, all the different campaign challenges against all the teams. The graphics are great. The commentary is even better this year than it was last year. If you're a football fan, obviously it's a solid win. If you get it, you're not going to be mad about it. But if you're not a football fan, I don't know why you would touch it. So it is what it is.
That is the one game I own. Well, I don't have this Madden 19, but Madden 18, and I barely touched it, just because I've had so many other games. But I love playing Madden. It's just that I haven't had time.
Yeah, it's a solid title, man. And they brought long shot mode back again this year. I didn't even finish playing through it on the one from last year. But I've been having so much fun with Ultimate Team. And, you know, like my Ultimate Team right now is Trevor Siemian as a quarterback, which sucks. I had Ben Roethlisberger, but he was 10 points below Trevor Siemian for some reason, because they have different versions of...
But he kept on getting in trouble in the bathroom at clubs.
Yeah, exactly right. But then get this, I have Terrell Owens as a wide receiver. I have Brandon Cooks as a wide receiver. I even have Todd Gurley as a wide receiver. And then I have, like, Jordan Howard.
How do you have Todd Gurley as a wide receiver? He should be your running back.
They slotted him in because my running backs were statted better than him.
That seems ridiculous. That's dumb. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But then get this. I've got Ray Lewis and Brian Urlacher on my defense as linebackers. And then I've got fucking Jimmy Graham as a tight end. Like, I feel so good, and I haven't spent a fucking dollar on Ultimate Team. Because, I mean, you can drop $50 and just make a god team. But I don't support that kind of stuff.
You have a Vikings quarterback as your quarterback, so that's all that matters. So,
dude, I need a better quarterback so bad. It's so frustrating just to see his name. I'm like, get out of here.
You should be thrilled to have a Viking helming your team like that.
He's not a Viking anymore, right?
Yeah, we just got him this year.
That sucks.
Yeah, he's our backup behind Kirk.
Dude, Kirk is gonna kill it.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins is gonna ball
out for
you guys.
Don't shut your mouths. Don't jinx it. You're saying things too loud. I'm deleting this portion of the podcast.
Kirk is coming in hot, man.
I'm very rarely wrong with these predictions.
You're
I really do think
fan. You're always
you're
wrong.
You're always wrong as a Cowboy fan.
Not when it comes to other teams.
So quick question. I have third pick. So my big fantasy football draft is next weekend. I have two of them, actually. I have one on Saturday and one on Sunday. Sunday is the really serious draft that I'm in with family that takes like 6 or 7 hours, and it's just brutal, and it's honestly not that much fun. Saturday is the one with all my friends where we just do shots every pick. So I'm third pick. It's a 0.5 PPR league, and I'm trying to figure out who I'm going to pick.
Probably Le'Veon Bell.
But I don't think he'll be available because the first pick's going to go Todd Gurley. The second pick will probably go Bell or Antonio.
I think the second pick's probably, in most leagues, I think people are going to jump on David Johnson.
Nah, man, he didn't even play last year.
I know, but it was just his wrist.
Yeah, but he didn't play fucking football. I mean,
I don't know. But he was number one ranked player last year.
And I have just zero insight of fantasy football right now.
He didn't do anything last year. He was hurt all year.
I know, but I just have this feeling that someone in your league, someone in my league, might pick up David Johnson with the number two overall pick.
No, I'm not feeling it.
He's ranked like the number four running back. It's Todd Gurley, Le'Veon, Zeke, David Johnson. But I don't trust Zeke because I hate the Cowboys.
No, you can't do Zeke.
Always trust Zeke.
You can't trust Zeke.
That offensive line, man.
No, man. Attendance is the number one killer of all fantasy footballs, and you can't trust Zeke off the field.
Exactly. And that's what worries me.
Zeke's still too young. He hasn't had that life-changing moment where his pocketbook is affected yet. And then if another year of him missing 4 to 6 games, 4 to 8 games, will hopefully get his shit together. But Zeke, 2 more years before I would tell anybody to draft him in the top fives, because you got to have people available. And I would put a large sum of money if I had some good odds on him getting busted for drug offenses again.
But he hasn't fucked up this whole entire off season.
Yeah, the off season.
It looks like he needs an award.
Yeah, way to do your damn job.
Should probably give him an award.
Yeah, good job for not being a rich fuck.
Yeah, thank you for not fucking up.
Way not to do a poor man's drugs in a rich man's league.
Right? Seriously.
Get off the weeds, Zeke.
Hey, since we're talking about games, though, did you guys watch the Red Dead 2 trailer?
I did not. Because I don't need any more hype in my life for a game I'm not going to see for 7 to 8 months.
What? No, Red Dead 2 comes out in fucking 2 months? 3 months?
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
It really does. It comes out in October.
I don't believe it.
Lies. So
until Red Dead is in my hands, I'm not going to believe it's coming
out. October 26th.
Until it's in my hands, I will not believe Red Dead's coming out.
But here's the kicker, though. It was actually a gameplay trailer. It was like 5 minutes long of gameplay.
Yeah, I heard it looked fantastic.
Well, you know, the graphics, people are like complaining about the graphics. The graphics, Rockstar has never been known for some sort of crazy graphics engine. They've never been known for that.
Not recently, that's for sure.
It looks and feels like old Red Dead, which I love. It just looks so authentic.
GTA on ponies.
Pretty much,
I just don't like the GTA gameplay.
It's not GTA.
It's the same mission fetching.
Red Dead is not.
It's
GTA,
mission fetching. Man. It's mission fetching.
But it's not GTA. You're not stealing fucking Porsches and driving down Sunset.
So you're stealing horses.
Okay, so you're handling banditos and shooting, you know, hookers. What are gals called back in there, and they weren't hookers. They were, I can't think
of escorts.
No, they have something else fancier. Anyways,
I think it's very unfair to compare Red Dead Redemption and just say it's GTA on horses, because it's definitely not.
Okay,
it is not GTA on horses.
The game itself, the story itself, is not GTA on horses. You're right. The gameplay is GTA on horses.
You are
running around fetching missions, and that is how you move your story along. And for, like I said, for me,
did you even play GTA 5?
No, because I hate GTA.
What the fuck?
I hate GTA games.
Always hated GTA?
I've hated GTA since 3, and I played Vice City, and I tried 4. I don't like GTA. I tried San Andreas for a while as well, and I don't like
them. The fact you haven't played 5 means you're doing yourself an injustice.
I'll never play 5.
That is the best GTA game they've ever made.
That's fine. I'm glad. I'm really happy for Rockstar. I think they're good people running that company, and I think they deserve a lot of the credit they get. I played a lot of the first Red Dead Redemption trying to get through it. that fetching style quest system like that is it's not driving me through. It's not driving me through a narrative, and I don't enjoy that. It's too big for me. It's too big. I don't like it. I don't. It's just not my thing. I don't enjoy a game system.
You're judging new releases off of your experience from GTA 4, which released in 2008. That was 10 years ago.
Okay. Gosh, man.
Kenny, when's the last time you went and watched a superhero, like a Batman movie? In the theater.
The last Batman that came out in theaters?
How long ago was that? You watched Justice League or Batman vs. Superman?
No, I didn't watch either of those.
Oh, yeah, because you judged it based off the last superhero movie you saw. So...
Well, when did not Dark Knight the one after that come out? That
Rises? Like Dark Knight Rises? Ago. No, Dark Knight like, Rises?
Yeah.
Dark Knight Rises was like 2010.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. When was it? Wasn't it at the same...
2012. Yeah.
Was it at the same time with that theater shooting? Was that Dark Knight Rises?
That was just Dark Knight, I believe.
I love Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, that was a good movie. But you didn't go watch the other Batman movies based off of that, right?
Justice League, I heard fucking
See? And I heard I wouldn't like GTA 5, so yeah, I didn't watch it.
Technically, that's
you
not
a bad movie. It got bad reviews, though, because GTA 5 killed it.
Because in order to be a bad movie, it has to revolve around Batman.
But it's the same people that review those games that I don't like their reviews. I don't like their reviews of games. Those people who gave GTA 5 all this great review are the same people sucking Fortnite's dick right now, and I can't stand that.
Fortnite sucks.
GTA 5 has made $2 billion. It sold awesome. 52
good
million
good for
copies.
Them. I just said I think Rockstar deserves everything they earn because but they are a great least, company dude, and I will can... not play their shit though. I don't like it.
Okay, we need to do the game, Matt, where you're going to have to play a game that I like, and I'm going to have to play a game that you like that we both hate.
But you like the games I like.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
Okay, name a game that you hate that you like.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. You have sat here on this show and said you want to play Monster Hunter, and I'm telling you, dude, I know what you like and what you don't like, and I'm trying to be your friend to tell you not to do that. You are not being my friend by trying to force me down a $70 video game that you know I'm probably not going to enjoy.
You can get GTA 5 for $20 now.
No, we're talking about Red Dead 2 right now, not GTA 5.
You're going to get it. You'll be playing it.
I might.
what a great conversation that was.
That's too good.
I might.
So what was cool about the Red Dead trailer though is that they showed like they put a bunch of emphasis on fist fighting too. So you can go into like saloons and get in, you know, through stores or whatever, like getting fist fights of people in fucking saloons over poker games. I was like, that'd be pretty dope.
Yeah, but that's just like an initiation thing. Is that actually like, am I going to be playing like UFC 9, you know, 2010? Or am I actually like, am I just going to be playing, you know, button drama, you know?
Square triangle, man.
Oh, great.
That's what God of War that was. Sounds it's like okay. It's
no, it was not. No, it was not. God of War was actually an epic storyline. And there was a daughter in The Last of Us, but you know that's one of your favorite games of all time.
Yeah, it was a great game.
Exactly.
Anyways. So, movies, I saw Mission Impossible Fallout with my new movie pass. And
movie pass. I'm surprised you actually got in. That was like one of the first movies that they stopped doing the big releases on for movie pass.
You didn't boycott Tom Cruise movies like me because he's just so fucking weird?
No, absolutely not.
He's still a shitty actor, in my opinion. Don't get me wrong. I
like his movies, but he's just so fucking weird.
So I bought movie pass about a month ago.
Have you ever met Tom Cruise?
I've seen enough of him.
No, have you met him?
I hear he's a nice guy.
Have you walked up to him and shook his hand and had a dinner or drink with that man?
I have not.
Then don't believe what the media wants you to believe.
I will.
What about the Scientology stuff?
You know, that's weird. All right, that's weird. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie. That's weird stuff.
that's what I went.
But there's always exceptions to the rules, and I've only heard great things about Tom Cruise.
So. I hear he's a nice guy, but he's just a wacko with the Scientology.
He's also, you know, had some issues with beating on a wife or two, but, you know, Scientology covers that stuff up.
Yeah, exactly. Gold base, that's all that matters.
Gold base.
So I went and got MoviePass about a month ago, and I went and saw the first Purge, which was horrible. And
awful.
Probably one of
we
the
talked
most
about
racist...
that on this show, didn't we?
No, why would you go see that?
Blambo? With old Blambo?
We haven't recorded since then.
Oh, it was bad. It was not good.
It was the most racist movie I've seen in a long time. Like, the whole movie was just, like, assuming everyone on fucking Staten Island is dirt poor. And, like, it was just horrible. And then I went and saw Hotel Transylvania. Because I wanted to get out of the house because it was 110 degrees. And I went and saw it with my daughter and my wife, and they loved it. And it was after working all day and going to the gym in the morning, so I fell asleep for the last 30 minutes of it. Yeah. And then I went and saw Mission Impossible Fallout. What else did I see? I saw something else that was really good. But anyways, I went and saw Mission Impossible Fallout on Sunday because I just, like, I happened to have time, and I was like, oh, I really want to use my movie pass again. So I went and saw it on Sunday, and it was entertaining, but I had shit to do. And the great thing about movie pass, I was like, you know what? I don't give a shit if I leave with 20 minutes left in the movie. And I did. I left with 20 minutes left.
God, you were
not
like,
because I hate the movie. I just had stuff to do. I had so much shit I had to do.
I can't handle that.
I can never leave a movie early.
I can't do that.
Why? It's Mission Impossible. It's not like it's sort of great storytelling.
You have to stay to the finish.
You made a commitment to that flick to sit through it.
No, I didn't.
You made a commitment.
No.
When you bought that ticket, you signed the contract on that ticket that said, I will watch this film till the end.
I used the movie pass and did not really pay full price for that ticket.
That's rough, dude. I don't know how you do that. Stuff.
I was just busy. It was Sundays is usually when I catch up on a lot of like stuff at home and get stuff ready for work the next day and laundry, and it was like 4 o'clock and I was like, I don't have time to sit here for another 20 minutes, so I just left.
I actually watched a lot of films while we did all this. I watched Three Identical Strangers, Ocean's 8, First Reformed, Sorry to Bother You, The Spy Who Dumped Me, The Catcher Was a Spy, and The Meg.
I'm not gonna lie,
out of all of those films I just mentioned right there, The Meg was the best film.
Dude, I almost
and it
saw
is
that
not
too.
It is not great. It's not a great film. It's exactly what you think it's gonna be. An over the top shark movie, and it does it in
so you
great
went in
fashion.
With low expectations.
I went in with the expectations that I was gonna watch it, you know, shitty shark movie, and I didn't really get a shitty shark movie. I got a decent shark movie, you know. So
so it's a couple steps above Sharknado.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I didn't the Three Identical Strangers things was I don't know I didn't it was whatever I you know they tried I think too hard to kind of turn this into like a big huge conspiracy theory thing. I did not like Ocean's 8. I'm not a fan of heist movies, and that was no exception. It didn't do anything for me to break the mold. First Reformed, I finally realized I don't think I like Ethan Hawke as an actor. There's something about him that I'm just not a fan of. And that First
Reformed. Did you not
Reformed
like him in Training
just,
Day?
No, I didn't. I'm honestly not a huge Training Day fan.
Really?
Yeah, it's not my movie.
I always love that movie.
It's okay. I don't think it's great. Sorry to Bother You was like infuriating to watch because I went and watched it in San Bernardino. Actually, technically Redlands, where it's probably worse because there's people who are just not socially conscious of anything in Redlands. And
what theater?
That new one.
Oh, you went to Harkins?
Yeah, that new Harkins right there at the at the Plaza.
Yeah,
at the
Well,
not with MoviePass, it's free. So,
no, MoviePass doesn't work there.
It did. I used mine there.
At Harkins
didn't MoviePass,
or Movie Grill? Are you talking about Movie Grill?
Dude,
MoviePass doesn't work at the Harkins.
The one that's in the Orange Plaza right there?
Yeah, MoviePass doesn't work there. It only works at the Studio Movie Grill.
Well, they just changed that then, because mine worked there. I used it there because I wanted to go to the new theater and see it. So I used my MoviePass at that new theater.
No, I don't think so.
All right, whatever. I'll show you the ticket stub. I'll show you the purchase stub on it. So,
the MoviePass one?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to see it, because if it's taken at Harkins, then my whole life's going to be changed, but it is not showing up on my map right now.
All right. Anyways.
Oh, do you have Synespia, though? Have you heard about that?
I don't know what that is.
It's another version of MoviePass, but you can use it at Harkins.
Okay.
It's like a different company. Aaron just did it. It's like $6 a month, and you can see 3 movies a month.
I don't want you putting restrictions on me like that.
Yeah, you see way more than 3.
So. Yeah, I need something that, you know, I mean, between the two, I mean, that might work for me. And the thing is, my MoviePass, like, people are telling me, like, all these restrictions. My MoviePass is, like, not stopped working since it's always done the same things for me, and I haven't had any restrictions. I haven't had any issues.
So what they did with it was, all of a sudden they started to do surcharge pricing, no new releases and stuff like that.
Yeah.
To try to base, and then MoviePass went back and looked at their numbers, and they went, man, 40% of our cost, or 60% of our cost or something, is from these like 5-10% of customers who are seeing a movie every damn day. So then they changed that. They were telling everyone they were going to raise the price to $15 a month and stuff too. So they came back and said, okay, no peak pricing, no surcharges on new movies or anything like that. It's $10 a month, but you can only see 3 movies a month, which is a pretty big difference considering it was unlimited. So
yeah, I haven't had any changes.
I was thinking in my head, I'm like, okay, that's fine for me, but like, that's gonna piss Matt off because you're seeing a movie every week, you know.
I'm seeing usually 3 to 4 a week.
Yeah. So, but look up. So if that restriction goes into effect, though, at least on your thing, look up Synespia. Aaron just did it, and it's like 3 movies a month or something too. But you can go to nicer theaters like Harkins and stuff. So
I have no issues with my MoviePass. Like, that's what I'm. I don't get what's going on with this right now.
Maybe you're just special, man.
I don't know what's going on. I feel like I'm like being grandfathered in. I haven't like, you know, Beacon and Quest for 100. He talks about how he was having to take pictures of his ticket stubs before he could even get his next movie, and mine doesn't do that.
What the hell?
Yeah.
I don't have to do any of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's crazy.
This change for MoviePass is literally going to effect like this week.
Oh, shit. So okay, I might start noticing something then.
I want to say it was like the 14th is when the change went into effect, so that might be why.
Okay. It's a mystery. Well, 15th today, so. Anyways. I really don't care, honestly, because it has not affected me in the least. So
it's so worth the money. Like, it was so cool for me. It's so cool to go to the movies and be like, you know, I'm not going to hate myself if this movie sucks because I already paid $10 and I can go to, you know, I can do this, whatever. The movie sucks. Big fucking whoop. Who cares, right?
Yeah.
Like, it just feels good.
Yeah. You can still see 2 others.
Yepers. Yeah, so I've seen a lot, man. I'm slowly starting to catch up. I got a few more to watch. But it's been good. You know, I've actually watched 3 movies on my MoviePass just this week. So I don't know. Jeez. Maybe if it reset after Sunday, because I watched 2 this weekend and then I watched 1 yesterday. So
be careful too, because I don't know how good they're going to be at advertising it, but you can see more than 3, but it's going to charge your credit card.
Yeah, I'll start.
$2 a movie or something. Yeah,
I'll have to start paying attention to it for sure. So
all of a sudden you're like, where are all these charges?
Holy shit! Why is my we'll see. That'll be a bummer. And honestly, I know there's been all kinds of stuff in the news, and you know people have been talking about it. And I'm just like, they haven't sent me shit, so I'm gonna just keep doing my thing.
Yeah. I mean, the business model just doesn't make sense.
It makes no sense. It makes absolutely zero sense.
But I mean, I'll milk it as long as I can.
There's no reason why that shit should work. And
no.
Yeah, for sure. And with that being said, movies. Yeah, Nick, did you watch anything, dude?
I did.
What you got for us?
With my wife, we watched
My Wife.
The Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh, awful film.
It sucked ass. It was so bad.
Yeah, it was awful. It was awful. I hated that film.
Yeah.
Oh man. Like, I love how you were just awful film.
Like midway through, I was like, this is what's going to happen. And sure enough, that's what happened.
Yeah, it was
like
bad.
There was no mystery.
And see, I had no idea what was going on. I actually fell asleep in that movie theater watching Orient Express for about 10 minutes. I'd knocked out and I woke up and I was like, they still haven't figured out who the fuck did it. I was like, oh, damn it. Like, I was like, ugh.
So. Still haven't figured. Yeah, that movie was so bad.
It was awful. It was so bad. I was
Did you see Black Klansman yet? I really want to
see
that.
No, so that's the movie I'm going to be watching that before the end of the weekend. So I'll be watching that for sure. I'll be watching Transylvania, Teen Titans. Those are movies that are going to be leaving the theater probably pretty quick, so I got to get on those before they go away. Bye-bye. Sure.
Yeah, Transylvania is pretty adorable.
Yeah, I saw the first two, so I might as well just go see the third.
I didn't see the first two. I was just like, oh, hey.
Yeah, first one wasn't bad. Second one, I don't think I remember any of it. But the third one, I mean, like I said, I'll watch it.
That's like my new thing with my daughter. Like, she gets so excited if I say we're going on an adventure, and she goes, movies? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, Coco? Because she remembers the first movie I took her to was Coco. And she is just like, when you walk into the movie theater, she wants to take pictures in front of all the posters. And like,
oh, that's cool.
She loves it. And I was like, hell yeah. Like, I'm so pumped I'm going to have a movie buddy.
She has
good taste. Coco is an awesome movie.
Not really.
Because she's obsessed
with Coco. I love Coco, man. I thought that was good.
Well, you know, some of us have daddy issues and others don't. So.
So whenever I pick up my acoustic guitar at home, she yells at me to play Coco. And I'm like, Dad's not that good at guitar.
Dad doesn't know Coco. Sorry.
I don't play Spanish guitar.
I have not learned to mariachi this thing yet.
No, not at all.
My guitar doesn't speak Spanish.
My guitar does not habla español. Okay, cool. Nice, man. Anything else besides Bad Orient Express that you can remember off the top of your head?
Oh, gosh. I had to have seen another one. I just can't remember.
All right. No worries.
I mean, we have been gone for like a month or something.
I've watched a lot of Netflix.
Anything worth mentioning?
Two things. One, I've been watching a new series that just came out called Afflicted. If you're a hypochondriac, don't watch it.
Deal.
Because it's about people with crazy, weird, chronic illnesses that are just like, you know, allergic to mold and chemicals and chronic fatigue syndrome, where basically you just want to sleep every day, all day. And it's really sad, but it's really like kind of heartbreaking that like Western medicine can't do much for them. But also, probably most importantly, that I have been watching is Parks and Rec.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great show.
Buddy.
Treat yourself.
So I just started season one of episode six, episode one of season six. I have been pounding through Parks and Rec. I've been watching it when I go to the gym in the morning. I watch it on my lunch break. I watch it when I drink coffee, you know, before I take a shower in the morning. I've just been watching the crap out of it. Now, for the record, it is not The Office. But I truly, really do enjoy that damn show. Every character is just, you know, I hate how they make fun of Jerry. It just breaks my heart because
it's hilarious.
No, man, Jerry gets his, man. Jerry gets his. They can make fun of Jerry all they want because he lives that good life.
Yeah,
he's married to a hot wife.
Hot wife, beautiful daughters. He's got it made.
But it's just so funny, like, whenever, like, they meet his family, and it's, like, the most perfect family, and they're, like, when they bring Leslie over for breakfast, and they're singing to her for breakfast, like,
but, like... They bring the money from the jerry jar.
Yeah, but, like, man, I've had, like, so much fun with that show, and, I love Andy Dwyer, Burt Macklin is, like, Bert. The best
actor. Yes, Little Sebastian.
Rest in peace.
Aziz Ansari just kills it. Tom. He does such a good, awkward character. Like, and then John Ralphio and his sister.
John Ralphio, man.
And then, like, Ron
Swanson. Detlef Shrimp's over here just hanging out, shooting ball.
Is this really all you're going to have me do? Shut up, Detlef. This is what I'm paying you
Shut
for.
Up, Detlef.
but, just Ron Swanson in general, just his, like, words of wisdom and stuff are just so good.
His love for scavenger hunts is maybe the best thing
Oh, ever. My God. his giggling, like, whenever he sees something really funny.
Yes.
And then they got the... whoever the opposing city councilman, Hans,
Eagleton.
Yeah, it's such a fun show. I'm kind of bummed I'm on season 6 because that means there's only one more season after this.
Hell, he has a bunch of gold stored away.
Yeah, and he's hidden. He doesn't even know what it's worth and stuff. And yeah. I love. And there's so many good, like, little feel-good moments, too. It's just like The Office, you know, it has those little... It's definitely more feel-good than The Office. Like, The Office was pretty dark a lot of times with its humor. It had, like, some... It had funny parts and fun, but, you know, Parks and Rec is definitely, like, a little more positive attitude than The Office was, but I still like, you know, The Office more. But, like, Donna is, like... the biggest badass ever. Like, I love how she just shows up places. But yeah.
Oh, Retta.
Yeah. So. Yep. And RIP Lil Sebastian.
Lil Sebastian.
Lil Sebastian. He's a staple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a great show, man. And the final season is great. I really enjoyed how it all went down. And what's really cool, so the final season, Kenny, since you're kind of binging through it, you might catch a lot more of it. But that final, I think it's like the final episode or final two episodes, there's just a ton of little Easter eggs where certain people don't necessarily show up and, like, make themselves known as to what went on with them. But there's hints throughout the last episode that show you what happened to certain people and characters and stuff that it's just really awesome. There's just really great moments. So let us know when you finish it, and we'll see if you caught some of the cool little moments on there, because it's fantastic, some of the pieces that are in there.
Yeah, I don't want it to end though.
No, Parks and Rec was not a show I ever wanted to end because it is amazing. So, Ben Wyatt, man, my guy right there.
He's so awkward.
But what's great is it's an Adam Scott character that's not normally Adam Scott, which is great. So,
hey, Kenny, have you made yourself a Swanson yet?
No.
A turkey leg wrapped with bacon.
Yeah,
that's disgusting. I hate turkey legs.
So do I. They're the worst.
God, I hate turkey legs.
Anyway,
I just vomited in my mouth, Nick. I love like when he has the burger cook off with Chris Traeger, and like Chris is making this like crazy ass burger, and he goes to the store and like they're trying to give him the tofu bacon. He's just throwing it in the trash.
Oh, he's like, please give me another.
Throw it away again.
Please, I'll take another.
No, one of the funniest Ron Swanson moments is when he walks into the home improvement store and he's like, "Can I help you with anything?" He's like, "I know more than you," and walks off.
He just walks away.
Speaking of Mr. Nick Offerman, he has a new show called Making It with Leslie Knope, why can't I think of her name right now? But it's just like it's a DIY show. It's like a crafting show, and I guess he's fantastic on it. I haven't watched it yet, but heard good things. So,
Amy Poehler,
of course it is. Thank you for everybody yelling at the car, and Nick for knocking that out the park. Sweet. So yeah, I haven't, you know, there's not a ton of stuff on Netflix I've been watching. I was in need of like a fantasy fix. I've been needing some fantasy in my life. I hadn't really seen anything lately that was filling that void for me. And I watched that movie Stardust on Netflix. Man, that was that's a feel good movie right there. And there are so many like big actors that are in that that were just young nobodies in that film. Like the guy who plays Daredevil on Netflix now is like the main guy in it. Henry Cavill, Superman, is in that film. Like, it's crazy to see some of these guys super, super young in that. So, shout out to all the Stardust fans out there. I was a fan. Not gonna lie, I dug it.
Well, check it out.
If you're feeling like you need some romantic fantasy, feel free to. If not, don't worry about it. but I liked it. I did enjoy it. I felt De Niro played a really cool character. But what was weird about De Niro's character is he felt like a straight ripoff from a video game called Knox back in the day. If you don't know Knox, don't worry about it. But it felt like it was just a straight ripoff of that character from Knox. So for all the people I've lost out there, now that I've only had maybe one viewer or listener left that actually knows what the hell I'm talking about, the show, though, that has been absolutely crushing for me since I got back, I've been watching a ton of, it's Outcast on Cinemax. Season 2 is out. It's been fantastic. Another IP from Mr. Robert Kirkman, and it is, you know, obviously on the network. Not a network. It's just on the cable, you know, with Cinemax, and it is dark. It is nasty. It is bloody. It is gory, and it is like if The Conjuring and The Exorcist had a baby, and this is the show that would have turned from that. And it is fantastic, dude. It is so good. I'm loving Outcast right now. I cannot recommend enough people to go check that out. And with your Amazon Prime membership, you can get Cinemax free for 7 days and watch the Outcast season. So there you go.
Nice.
Yeah. So I highly recommend. And with that being said, there's one show I know you guys are dying to chomp at the bit here. And I just want to kind of get into it because we're a little over an hour right now, but I feel like we need to make some time for Better Call Saul because, I got to watch the opening, the first episode. I have not been able to watch the second for some reason. My DVR decided it did not want to record the second episode, which is a bummer. It's recording it later tonight for some reason, which I don't get because the episode premiered on Monday. But anyways, I'll have to re-go do the settings on that, probably what happened. And the first episode of Better Call Saul was freaking awesome, man. I'm not going to lie, that first 15 minutes in the black and white, I don't think I've sweated watching a TV show that much in a long time. Worrying about my boy Saul, dude. Oh, my God.
I love how much they brought in. You know, it is that... It's just, I know it's Better Call Saul, but when you watch it, it just feels like you're watching Breaking Bad still, too.
Yeah, I get the same vibe.
The photography, just the angles and just the way they do it. Like, you know, I'm just so excited that I've got something to watch again.
And having characters like you see Hector Salamanca and Gus Fring and Mike Ehrmantraut. Having those guys on there just makes it that much better. I mean, because Breaking Bad was such a great show, and these guys, they all nail their characters, and it's just nice to have them on.
I have to tell you, seeing Gus, who's not dead, lose it.
He is dead today.
He's not.
20 years ago.
But seeing Gus lose it in the end of episode 2.
Oh, yes.
Oh, should we do a spoiler alert?
Spoiler alert.
Boo.
Yeah.
He looks at Nacho and he's like, "You're mine now."
Yeah, that was so cool to see Gus.
Shows you how dark,
heartless. You know?
Shows you how dark Gus Fring is. Yeah. It's just awesome.
And it was. And you could see it when he was looking at like the medical reports. Like he knew just by how smart he is, what Nacho did. And I think in season 2, there were two scenes in season 2 that just made me go, wow, these actors are awesome. One is when Saul is trying to get the job to sell the copiers.
Oh, God, and yes.
When he walks back in the room and sells himself for that job on the spot and just talks about how the copier is the lifeblood of the business, it's just the definition of him knowing how to charm someone. And right. then when he shuts him down and says, man, you guys just got, like, suckered. Like, man, you guys suck.
He's like, I could be a serial killer for all you know. Yeah, just hire me on the spot.
Yeah, but then after that, when Kim Wexler loses it on the Hamill.
Howard.
Yeah, when she loses it on him about how they're screwing over Saul and everything, like seeing her emotion in that scene and her screaming and like practically crying about how shitty the situation is, that was like it's rare I watch a TV show and go like, damn, that was powerful, but that was really powerful.
Because Jimmy's getting fucked, and it even though he's not really showing it or he's trying to hide it, I mean, you know that James McGill, Jimmy, is hurting. You know that he is hurting big time. It's just that he's trying to do everything possible to take his mind off of it.
Yeah, I just thought it was I love the show. I love the dynamic of it. I love the different – I love how, you know, Mike Irvintrout is such a
badass too.
Oh, absolutely. He just, like, you know,
was able to walk into that warehouse undetected and act like he was
so cool, right? He just he read them like a fucking book, you know. And I just love everything about the show. It's just everything about that show, it just gets me so excited.
It doesn't get talked about enough. Like, you never hear people like
it goes under the radar, right?
Yeah. Like, you would expect usually, like, for example, I'm working in the office setting now to where we actually have your coffee talk in the morning. People talk about TV shows. Nobody talks about Better Call Saul.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't even most people at my work don't watch any of these shows either. I have a bunch of people at my work who watch Game of Thrones, but, like, I just don't.
Yeah, but they're not avid Game of Thrones watchers.
But there's no one at my work who watches Westworld, and that drives me crazy.
That's
but
gnarly.
There is someone at my work who watches Walking Dead, and she's always like, you watch Walking Dead, Kenny? Yeah, Kenny, I know you've been waiting on it. I was like, nope, still haven't watched it. Like, I just don't care.
So here's my thing with Better Call Saul, and the reason why I really enjoy it, because when the last season of Breaking Bad, right, so we had this really cool thing where we kept seeing Walter White's end game, and we just kind of kept getting glimpses into his last moments of his life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is that same storytelling arc is brought into Better Call Saul, where we get to see Saul Goodman as, you know, and Jimmy McGill as Gene at the Cinnabon, and we get these glimpses of him in black and white telling the end of his tale, and we already know Jimmy McGill as Saul Goodman in Breaking Bad, so we've already seen his end, or we're watching his end currently with these flashbacks and, you know, kind of black and white scenes. We've already know the middle of his story. And now, rather than getting, like, flashbacks or shitty ways to try to, you know, plug in a story, we're getting Jimmy McGill's tale. And we're kind of getting these three different characters that Bob Odenkirk plays, all from the same world. And I love the dynamic of that. I love the thought process behind it. And I love how every single character we watch Bob Odenkirk play in this universe is so different from the one prior, even though it's the exact same person.
Yes, he really hits the nail on the head with his portrayal of Saul Goodman, James McGill, and then Gene at the Cinnabon place. I mean, he's just...
It's crazy to me. It's Bob just, Odenkirk. It's crazy to me how good he is.
Yeah,
he needs to get an Emmy.
Yeah, as an actor, man, that guy, he really can't go wrong in all his and everything he's done with Saul. And, you know, I mean, he just, I just, like, I want to have a beer with that guy.
Yeah, right? That'd be awesome.
He's freaking awesome.
I just, you know, and it blows me away to think, you know, this isn't like a Nutty Professor thing with Eddie Murphy, or, you know, he's just throwing on a bunch of different makeup to create new characters, right? Bob Odenkirk is playing the exact same guy, just having to be in different worlds. And I think it's amazing to me. It blows my mind. And I love that we're getting this whole new perspective of this story as Jimmy McGill and Better Call, and you know, in Better Call Saul. It drives me crazy, just like you guys are talking about, that this is not more renowned and respected among, you know, people who are watching, you know, people, you know, that we all know that watch shows like crazy, right? And I love seeing all the other characters. I love the interaction between everybody. I think Mike is just the OG-est of the OGs. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to episode 2 where you guys are talking about Gus losing it on Nacho. So that's got me even more excited for episode 2 later tonight.
Oh, crap. Sorry. I thought you watched it.
No, I just said it before you guys started talking about that, how I'm not going to get to watch episode 2 till later. So it's all good. No trip. You guys got me excited for episode 2. You didn't spoil episode 2.
Well, we kind of misled him a little, so we'll just let him.
I just want to know what he blows up about now. That's my thing. So, you know, I got to see this all.
Oh, you'll see.
See. Click, cool. click.
Gentlemen, anything else you guys want to talk about, man? Anything else you want to chat about, go on about, anything like that? That's kind of just a quick recap of coming back from vacation, man.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to the next episode of Better Call Saul.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to my fantasy football drafts, and
I got the 4th pick in my fantasy football draft.
There you go. That's a good one. You'll probably have David Johnson, maybe.
Or Antonio Brown.
No, he'll go second. I was talking to my friend. I'm like, who should I grab? And they're like, Antonio. I was like, I won't take a wide receiver first round. I don't care who it is. I don't trust it.
No, I'm going to get a running back with my first pick.
You have to with your first two. Anyways.
I haven't drafted in for fantasy league in a long time. So.
Just last year.
I autoed that one. So
yeah.
That one autoed for me. I was not there for the draft on that one. So I did play. I enjoyed that league. That was a great league. I enjoyed playing with you guys. But I don't know, man. I don't have the. I like watching football now. I actually am much more into the sports betting around football now than the fantasy of it anymore. So I like waking up on Sunday morning and seeing what my lines are and. You know, maybe hitting up the pops for drop a couple bucks on a line or two out there in Vegas. So,
yeah, and sports betting is legal now.
Yeah, it is for the most part now. It's basically running free, so it's all good, man. That's all I got for you guys, man. So without further ado, man, that is episode 35. Let's go ahead and we'll wrap this thing up. Nick, tell people where they can find you, man.
Raider0314 on Twitter and also on PlayStation Network.
Nice. Kenny.
That's Wild Barefoot.
I'm the Big Papa Matt. You can follow me on Instagram at the Big Papa Matt. You can follow me on Twitter at the Big Papa Matt. You can follow Nerd Mosh Pit on Twitter as well. And if you want to play some PlayStation, hit me up at Son of Maku, SONOFMAKU, where all things are great. You can also check out all of our other family of podcasts with mouse-corp.com on mouse-corp.com, where you'll find some great stuff as well. Some another amazing group of people. And a big shout out to everybody out there liking, commenting, subscribing and enjoying the show with us here on Nerd Mosh Pit. We can't thank y'all enough, and I hope you have a great rest tonight. Enjoy.
See you guys
later. Annyeong.
It's been fun. Don't come back.
This was a triumph. I'm making a note here. Huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction.